Hi, welcome to Matrix Moments. My name is Rajinder and I'm a director at Matrix India. And I'm joined today by Tarun Davda and Vikram Vaidyanathan, managing directors at Matrix India. We're going to discuss a topic today that early stage founders spend a lot of time thinking about: metrics and dashboards. Guys, why do VCs love measuring everything? I mean, absolutely everything.
So there are many types of VCs. VCs come in all shapes and sizes. So there are data junkie VCs who measure everything. There are FOMO VCs who measure what other people want. There are vanity VCs who are only measuring vanity metrics. And then there are financial VCs who are only measure financial metrics. And I think I've been accused of being all of them. But what's common to everyone is that they like to measure and measure something. And I'm going to toss this to Tarun, and let's talk about why founders should measure. We know VCs like to measure everything, but why do we think founders should measure how their company is doing?
Hey guys, this is Tarun. So I think where you know what Vikram said is true, right? Every VC likes to measure. I actually think that every founder likes to measure. If not, they should like to measure, because I fundamentally believe that you can't improve what you don't measure, right? A lot of what you do as an early stage founder is gut-based, and a part of that is true. But the reality is that while things are going well, it's great to be gut-based and basically, you know, use intuitive understanding of your customer to improve the product. But things don't always go well. And we know that that's true in you know, most startups, that there are more challenges than things that are going well. And so if you aren't measuring, you essentially don't know what is going wrong, why it's going wrong, and where the engineering and the product team needs to put more focus. So that's number one. The second is, as a management team, you're always looking to align the entire company on what is important. What are the levers that the team should be focused on in terms of making, either getting to product market fit or making the business model work? And so unless and until you don't have a metric that you can align the entire org on, it's very, very hard to sort of, you know, drive towards a particular outcome. So that's, I would say, point number three. Next is, if I look at overall, you know, every company is essentially on, you know, depending on the stage of the company, either you're iterating towards PMF, or you're trying to scale PMF, or you're trying to become profitable, or you're trying to sort of, you know, get both, right? Which is, you already figured out profitability, you figured out the business model, and you're now trying to scale that. At different points, having some indication about, should I be pressing the brake or should I be pressing the accelerator? Very, very important. And most management teams are looking for data to tell them that. And we've seen in some very early stage companies, when they don't measure this, they actually don't know. For example, if you're burning more money on every transaction as you're growing, ideally you should be pressing the brakes and trying to figure out, you know, get that piece right before you start accelerating again. If you don't measure, you won't know that. And so sometimes you could actually take wrong business decisions. Last is, you know, at every stage as an early stage company, you're going to start projecting, you know, a few quarters out what the business looks like. Now, if you haven't been measuring sort of the building blocks of the business on the product side, on the marketing side, on the growth side, you will not be able to have enough understanding of what assumptions are to make while building the business plan. So if you don't know that your conversion rate today is, you know, X percent, how are you going to be able to project that out 12 months and say, hey, you know what, here is where I am, here is where the industry benchmark is, and hence here is where I need to go to. Now, if you're measuring it, you know how far you are from the benchmark and what you need to do about it. But more importantly, it gives you a view into the future and say, hey, 12 months out, here is our aspiration or where we need to get to. So I actually think it also, over time, becomes a building block for your business plan in the future.
So I just add to that business plan, and often people ask, you know, how do I make sure that, you know, the forward-looking dashboard is just not aspiration? And to me, the reason to make a plan is to know when that plan has changed. Because if either you're going to be way ahead of plan or way behind plan, you need to know which is which in order to press that accelerator or the brake, like Tarun said. I'm going to add a few things on sort of the why measure and also how. The first thing is on instrumentation. And often people are scrambling to put numbers into a spreadsheet when the MIS or a dashboard is due. What's better is to say, I'm going to build this into the tech. For example, let's say you want to measure turnaround time of a loan. It's easier to actually put that in the instrumentation of the loan management process. So you, the TAT becomes an out and a metric that is measured as loans are getting processed. That's what I mean by the instrumentation. And instrumentation will be different for a fintech company versus a logistics company versus a marketplace. But getting that instrumentation right once you've decided what the dashboard is actually critical. Otherwise, you're just going to be scrambling to fill in a spreadsheet. The second is including the product tech teams in the design of these dashboards. And often the dashboard is a business team's KPI or business team's deliverable, and the product team tech team is doing their own thing. If you include the product tech team in the dashboard, one, you will get the instrumentation right, and B, you'll also carry the product tech team along on what the business KPIs are. And so, for example, one of our logistics companies included the product tech team in the designing the logistics dashboard, and they started looking at utilization as a metric very differently. And they went back and started redesigning the route optimization algo very differently. Once they knew, oh, you know what, this is the business output or the performance output that we are looking for. I think it's even more important in what we call phygital businesses, which are physical plus digital businesses, where you have a tech team and a financial services team, and they're not really understanding how the other guy is thinking. So making sure that the product tech team is actually part of designing the business dashboard becomes even more important.
I'll just add one point over there, Rajinder. I think the mistake I've seen a lot of young founders make is they think the dashboard is meant to be built when you're ready to fundraise for the investor. And I think that is a mistake that most quality investors, when they invest in your company, will guide you against, saying that, guys, the dashboard is actually for you as the founder, as the CEO, to manage the health of the business on an ongoing basis, so that when you are ready to have fundraising conversations, it's very clear that you have a grip on what the company is doing and what each metric is doing. So I think I also want to dispel this myth that a dashboard is for investor reporting. It's not for investor reporting. Investor reporting is a byproduct. The real aim is to help manage the company on a daily, weekly, monthly basis.
So actually, it's a good point. So I was going to chat about cadence. Would love to get your views on what's the right cadence for companies to actually measure their business health. Often founders are trying to figure out the changes that they're trying to make and when to evaluate whether those changes have actually made an impact. How do you advise your founders on cadence for metrics?
So it's a great question. I think that cadence can actually drive execution as well as iterations for companies. Some metrics will honestly be weekly metrics. So for example, DAU in a social company or a vernacular social company will be actually a weekly metric. Some metrics are clearly more, call it monthly or quarterly metrics like NPS. You wouldn't actually measure NPS on a daily basis. So I think one is to define some of these metrics, and some of these which are driving sort of daily or weekly product iterations will be in the daily weekly bucket. Others which are going to decide monthly quarterly priorities like NPS should be in the monthly quarterly bucket. Tarun, I don't know if you feel differently.
No, I think it comes down to a few things, right? Essentially, the way I think about metrics is there are growth metrics, there are profitability metrics, there are usage metrics, right? And essentially, some version of your MIS is essentially targeted towards each of these three large buckets, right? Now, there will be certain like growth metrics that you will want to measure on a weekly or a monthly basis, especially in very early stage companies. As your company becomes more mature, it'll turn into either a monthly metric or a quarterly metric, right? But in when we were in China recently, one of the founders told us that the thing that's unique about China is they actually measure week on week growth, whereas a lot of founders in India focus more on monthly growth, right? And so I think it is also about the nature of the market you're in, the stage of the company, and the kind of metric. To Vikram's point, something like a NPS, which is more about usage and stickiness of your product, it's unlikely that you will want to measure that daily, because that's not something that A should change daily unless you are really doing something drastically different. But it's more about a health metric that you will measure more on a monthly or a quarterly basis. But something like, for example, conversion rates on your website or on your mobile app, for example, conversion rates on number of loans that you are processing compared to the incoming applications, these are things that you will want to have a tighter control on, because if something has changed, either in your product or in your tech at the back end, you will want to very quickly be able to react to that so that there's no sort of adverse business impact. So I think it is a lot of this is context specific, where certain things just make more sense to measure on an ongoing basis, but certain things you will want to measure more over a period of time.
Let's shift gears to, you know, the second question, which is, you know, what to measure. Many companies struggle to find the right balance between tracking too many things versus tracking just a few key things. And, you know, talk about how many metrics companies should be tracking also in the context of what stage of evolution they are. Early stage companies which are looking to find product market fit versus, let's call it, you know, growth stage companies which have some version of product market fit but are really trying to figure out the business model. How deep should this metric tracking really be?
So let me take that, and I'd love Vikram's views on it as well. So for very, very early stage companies, which are typically like at seed stage, right, which is generally where either we would enter or a Series A we would enter. So mostly for seed stage companies, my advice to founders is the most important thing is to understand your North Star metric, right? And North Star metric is not generally a operating metric. It is something which is much more fundamental that is centered around the value that you are able to deliver to customers. So for example, one of our portfolio companies Belong, very early when we invested, the only North Star metric for them was the number of job offers that were made through the platform, right? Now, they weren't even monetizing the number of job offers, and the business model wasn't centered around each job offer resulting in some sort of revenue for the company, right? It was much more of a subscription business. But the reason why the number of job offers was important was because it actually showed, is there enough value that the platform is delivering? And if there is enough value the platform is delivering, the best metric to reflect that was, are people actually able to find jobs and make offers through this platform? And hence, the number one metric for a long period of time just stayed as number of job offers being made through the platform every month. It wasn't tying to any sort of operational data. It wasn't tying to any sort of financial outcome for the company. But that was the number one metric that allowed us to know, are we moving towards PMF? Right? So that's number one. I would say more generally for typical early stage companies, my recommendation is try and limit the things that you measure to five, maybe five key metrics. Under no circumstances more than eight metrics, because if you measure too much, you essentially don't know which one to optimize. And so focusing on those five, six, seven key metrics, maybe one or two related around growth, maybe one or two related around sort of unit economics or health of the business, maybe one or two, you know, around sort of retention or stickiness or sort of usage of your product. But anything more than this is too much. Especially, again, like I said, this is largely for early stage companies, because if you're measuring too much, essentially you're getting way too much signal, and you know there is a analysis paralysis kind of tendency that you may fall under, which I think is dangerous for early stage companies. So I would do just that, you know, figure out what are these 5 to 8 key metrics for your company, segment them under, like I said, growth, you know, profitability and usage, and then figure out which one makes sense. The last one I would add is basically, you know, it's different for different businesses. So a SaaS company should be measuring different things than a, you know, media company. A media company should be measuring different things than an e-commerce company. And these metrics, by the way, are not like most, you will mostly find that every industry, there is enough knowledge now, or if you talk to a few founders, you know, who have got some more experience in your domain, which metrics to measure is fairly clear. Equally important is figuring out the benchmark for that metric. So for example, if you are looking at retention in a social app, what is the benchmark for retention for day 30, day 90? Having an understanding of that is equally critical for a young founder, because the metric in isolation of knowing what's the industry benchmark for best in class is meaningless. Like, you could be at 15% day 30 retention, but you don't know whether that's good, bad, or ugly, right? And so knowing the benchmark for that and knowing what is the top decile companies in that vertical doing, I think is equally important.
I think on the benchmarks point, what I would add is a concept of market awareness. Be aware of how the overall market would sort of measure you. And often we are in early stage technology companies which are disrupting incumbents, and we are usually measuring something which is different from the incumbents. But it's almost always important for us to be able to translate it into a different benchmark. So for example, again in fintech, financial services companies are usually balance sheet businesses, while fintechs are not balance sheet businesses. But it's important for us to know that how will you translate your current metric, maybe it's throughput and flow of loans and flow of applications, into a more traditional context. and that and therefore then say that I'm going to measure this because this actually translates into the traditional world into a different metric. I love this 5 to 8 metrics that Tarun just said. The only thing I'd add is I always like to have a good mix of input or health metrics versus output of performance metrics. And the one advice I would have for early stage founders and earlier in their company's evolution is to pick more health metrics. So for example, a good health metric on input in a SaaS company or even a fintech B2B company is Salesforce productivity, which actually gives you a good sense of whether your sales work is working efficiently or not. And then later on, work on more output and performance metrics, whether it's disbursements or AUM and so on, that might come a little bit later in your company's evolution.
So guys, you're making it sound really easy. And I know it's really hard from many conversations that founders have shared with us. Talk to us, talk more about some of the non-intuitive things you all have learned about this North Star metric you brought up. What are some examples of things that founders have spoken to you about which are quite different from what you would have otherwise imagined about the business?
So, let me take maybe 3 examples from some of our portfolio companies. So I think sometimes the North Star metric is a straightforward metric like the one I shared with you, which was the Belong example, which was basically number of job offers through the platform, right? Sometimes the North Star metric could also be a derived metric, which actually leads to something which is much more fundamental in terms of your business model working or not working, right? So I'll tell you in Ola, right? Obviously, early days, the thing that matters more, that mattered the most was the number of rides that people were taking. The other thing that mattered the most was our drivers sort of sticking to the platform and our drivers loyal to the platform. But whether drivers were loyal or not was not an actionable metric for us. It was like, okay, drivers are retaining an X percent. The question was, why are they either staying on the platform or why are they not staying? And what is the difference between the two? It was a little hard for us to initially sort of get our hands around. And then we came up with this metric, which I think was very helpful in the early days, which was driver earnings per hour, right? And it fundamentally came down to if the drivers were making more than X rupees per hour, they would stick. If they were making less than X rupees per hour, they would not stick. And that fundamental insight, and the moment you are able to get to that answer and say, hey, you know what, by city, by category, by sort of micro market, if I'm able to track that, or even sometimes at driver level, right, if I'm able to track that which driver is actually making more than my benchmark earnings per hour and which drivers are not, and what do I need to do? To me, that's a very actionable metric. Whereas driver retention is a percentage and there's not much I can do about it other than knowing that, oh, it's worse than last month or better than last month. It's not actionable in any way. And so for me, I think, just along with other metrics we used to measure, this driver earnings per hour. And then that sort of broken down by, like I said, city, category, etc., was something which was very helpful. The second one was in the case of, if I take, some of our, media and, sort of social companies, a lot of people focus on DAU and DAU growth, right? And I think that's important. It's very important in the early days because essentially it does show sort of, pace of growth. But to me, DAU, in the absence of knowing what is your time spent or MOTS, minutes of time spent, and retention, actually can be very misleading. Because you could be adding a lot of DAU, either organically or inorganically. But if the DAU is not sticking to the platform and is spending very little time on the platform, to me, those are much more instructive as a metric of the health of the business than just DAU itself. And so for me, for example, in some of our companies, the focus very early on is how much time are they spending and how much time of their, if they're spending 4, 5, 6 hours totally on social media and TV, what proportion of the time is being devoted to your platform becomes very important. Because it shows in some ways it's an indication of the value that your platform is providing them. The second is retention. Otherwise, you're in this treadmill business where you keep adding DAU, you keep running new marketing campaigns, a bunch of users come, but essentially after 30, 60, 90 days, if all of them are disappearing or a large proportion of them are disappearing, essentially at some stage, you're going to hit a growth ceiling where you will just not be able to grow unless you burn a lot of money, right? So that's the second one. The third one is I would take the example of, budget hotels. A lot of us, focus on either what's your average room rate. A lot of people focus on sort of utilization or occupancy. And to me, actually, the merger of those two metrics is actually the one which is very relevant because you can drop prices and suddenly get very high occupancy levels, or you can keep your occupancy down, but, you know, charge a lot per room. To me, again, in isolation, the two metrics mean nothing. So we actually came up with this metric called RevPAR, which is revenue per available room night, which is at a particular price point for a particular occupancy level, what is your RevPAR? And to me, that again is an important metric, because month on month, I can keep increasing prices or reducing this thing, but obviously there is a trade-off you're making with occupancy. And so this actually adjusts for that and says, you know, if you're selling a room night at 2000 rupees and it's at 70% occupancy across your portfolio, that's actually a 1400 rupee RevPAR. And to me, that number becomes more important than looking at either of the other two metrics in isolation.
I think he's given you great examples on some of these North Star metrics. I also want to differentiate and add on what I call press the brake metrics and press the accelerator metrics. So press the brake is that you define certain metrics and you say, if this metric goes below a certain level, I'm going to stop growing. So NPS and churn are great examples of that. And, you know, at some point in time, Flipkart famously said that if our NPS goes below this, we will stop growing, right? And great SaaS companies say, if our churn goes above this number, then I'm going to stop growing. And the others are press the accelerator metrics. And, you know, one of the metrics that Tarun said, which is if you have engagement and minutes of time spent, which are growing as you're growing, that's a clear indication that you should be pressing the accelerator and growing much faster.
Final question on this podcast. I think many founders are going to find this North Star metric idea really interesting. What advice do you have for them on how to come up with this metric? And once they've come up with it, how to translate it into long-term impact?
That's a really great and tough question. So I'm going to take a crack at it. Often this North Star metric sort of emerges. And I'm trying to go back to the time when, how did these things emerge? I think the answer is in the unit economics of your business model. Often startups are investing far ahead on fixed costs and marketing before the end state business model emerges. But there's always a unit measurement. And there's what you're trying to solve for is the what is the unit economics of that, which will lead to the end state business models. For example, minutes of time spent, if you get more time, then you get more money. If you can do more deliveries in per hour for a logistics company or per delivery boy per hour, then you've cracked that unit metric of your business. So I think very hard for what is that unit of your business which you're trying to scale, and how do you measure that unit of business? I think that might be the secret to getting to this North Star.
I'll just add one more point. I think, you know, great points. And the only addition I would say is that what I've seen in early days in a company, right? Startups are chaos. There's generally way too much ambiguity. Everybody is, you know, trying to figure out sort of in their respective function, what is it that they need to work on? Operations is focused on something. Product is focused on something else. You know, engineering is trying to, you know, build the platform and build some scalability or some stability. What generally founders try to do, or some of the best founders I've seen, is actually come up with this one North Star metric, which they use really well to rally the entire org around a common goal, right? And so whether it may be MOTS in a media kind of company, or it may be driver earnings in a company which is trying to sort of, you know, focus on retention for that particular quarter or that particular month, it actually becomes a way for the founder to get people closer, much more aligned. Everybody is clear on what they need to achieve. Everybody understands the impact of that metric on respective functions. Functional leads understand how they need to translate that down to their next line. And so I've actually seen that this North Star metric concept is a great way for every single person in the org to get clarity in terms of what is it that is going to make this company successful, right? It's not just a metric that the founder or the CEO or the senior team is basically looking at and is basically sharing with their investors. This North Star metric actually has the potential to get every single person in the team, everyone from the CEO down to the customer service rep, every single person in the team understands what is it that we need to do.
The final thing I would add is to align the investors and board on some of what you're measuring, especially your North Star metrics. And sometimes every investor has a pet peeve. And sometimes you have to add that one metric. But I would say align everyone and make it part of your vocabulary, both internally and externally, for it to really become your North Star.
Thanks a lot, Tarun and Vikram. And thank you all for listening.
Thank you for listening. And you can find the transcribed version of this podcast on matrixpartners.in. You can also follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for more updates.